Quasi-Cerebral Talk and Tunes. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Here's what we've got cooking up this hour. Tuned in to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. We're the campus community radio station broadcasting from Burnaby Mountain at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, Tsleil-Waututh, and Kwikwetlem First Nations. My name is Leslie. I'm here live in the studio today. We love a good live show when we're able to do one. And as well, it is March 11th today. A very happy belated Miku Day to you. What is Miku Day? Well, actually, Miku Day refers to March 9th on the internet, I guess the Japanese internet. March 9th can also be read as Miku. Of course, this day can celebrate anybody really named Miku. For example, if you're like me, you're an avid follower of the J-pop idol group Hinata Zaka 46. Miku Day can refer to Miku Kanemura, who is one of the members of the group. But if you are also an enjoyer of electronic music, of some fun, easy listening, of some poppy punky stuff, and especially synthesizer music, Miku Day could possibly refer to Miku Hatsune. And that is the name of the game today. I'm going to be talking about Miku Hatsune. I'm going to be playing a lot of her music for you as well. If you're not aware of who Miku Hatsune is or what she is, it is technically. How do I explain? So there are these things, right, called Vocaloids. It's a computer program, you can basically make music samples on it. And the Vocaloid itself, the vocals, as in the name, the voice, is a synthesized voice. These are programs that are developed by Yamaha, and I believe a Spanish company called Krypton Digital Technologies or something like that. Many years ago, almost nearly 20 years ago, they created the first Vocaloid. And in 2007, they created another one named Vocaloid CV-01. This Vocaloid program had a mascot who is depicted to basically be a 16-year-old anime girl. She's got turquoise hair and twin tails. Her name is Miku Hatsune, or Hatsune Miku. Her name meaning the first sound of the future, Hatsune Miku. She has since kind of become kind of like this internet phenomenon. Originally, I think when I was first getting into Miku Hatsune, she was kind of more niche in the Western part of the world. I'm talking about 15 years ago, so I would have been in about middle school, elementary school or middle school. And now she's kind of blown up to be a really big name as well in some circles in the West. Today I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about my personal experience with her when I was a preteen, and as well as a person who's interested in media. I'm so fascinated by her success, I guess, as a virtual idol. But more importantly, I'm really fascinated in how her notoriety kind of banded people together in a sort of fandom culture that I was kind of more familiar with in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And as well, how she was kind of like a catalyst for a multimedia DIY online art spaces. So check it out. That's going to be the episode today. I'm going to be playing some Miku-sans that I grew up with, playing also some tracks that were shared with me from our music department coordinator here, Connor, who also runs Bitcoover. He's got great recommendations for Miku music, as well some tunes today from modern J-pop musicians who actually regularly use the Hatsune Miku program to create their own songs. Some of these music producers and musicians who now are household names, not only in Japan, but perhaps also on your TikTok. So let's get right into it. The first track today, I mean, it's undeniable, of course. We're gonna talk about Miku Hatsune. We gotta play some of her most famous classic meme-like tracks. This is Popipo, the vegetable juice song.
Bye. This is Bird Note. For 20,000 years, spring rains and melting snow have filled the playas of the rainwater basin of south-central Nebraska. Carved by glacial winds at the end of the last ice age, the playas are shallow depressions the warmth of spring fills with abundant life. As winter ends, 10 million waterfowl rest and feed here before continuing north. The seasonal wetlands of the rainwater basin form a 150-mile-wide funnel for water birds migrating from the Gulf Coast and point south to northern breeding grounds. The basin is the narrowest neck of the great migratory route we call the Central Flyway. In recent years, the number of snow geese stopping in the region during spring has risen dramatically to more than 3 million birds. A third of North America's northern pintails rely on the food-rich habitat here. Shorebirds of 27 species use the wetlands. So do 500,000 sandhill cranes. Fat reserves acquired during their stay here can mean the difference between success and failure in nesting. No other stopover between wintering and nesting grounds can replace the combination of wetlands and grain fields found in the rainwater basin. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
That was your Bird Note for today. My name is Leslie. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before Bird Note, you heard Odeo featuring Miku Hatsune with Wonder. And before that, you heard I Love You More Than I Used To by Robo featuring as well Miku Hatsune. You might be thinking, well, Leslie, that's a lot of Miku Hatsune today. It's a Miku Hatsune show. We're celebrating Miku Day belatedly. Miku Day meaning March 9th. Miku is kind of like a, I believe, like an alternative reading of the numbers 3-9. In Japanese, and therefore some folks on the internet have designated that to be Miku Day. Now, that could be any Miku, but today, for me, it's about Miku Hatsune. I grew up listening to a lot of Vocaloid music. You know, when you're like a lonely preteen, you have just enough internet access to get onto YouTube, and you're a big weeb, you're a huge weeaboo, you're going to come across some Hatsune Miku stuff. And it's not just Hatsune Miku, of course, there are several other, I suppose you could say, Vocaloid mascots. There was also Rin and Len Kagamine, who are canonically within the, Vocaloid lore. They are the twins. Then there's Luca Megarine, who came shortly after, or some years after the twins. And I don't know, I guess if you... I'll talk a little bit more about her later on. But with these colorful mascots, what you also had for people who got access to the Vocaloid programs to make music, you also had this opportunity to create art, visual art. I am quite honestly not 100% sure of what the Miku Hatsune fandom space or Vocaloid fandom space really looks like these days. But back in the late 2000s, early 2010s, a lot of the Vocaloid content you would find on YouTube was re-uploaded from a Japanese video streaming platform called Nico Nico Douga. And Japanese Vocaloid producers would put their work up on Nico Nico Douga, and they would collaborate with illustrators who they found online and basically say, hey, I'm making this song. Can you make cover art for me? And you would sometimes, often, get a video which played the song of the produced Vocaloid song, and then also had this beautiful colorful drawing that somebody made to act as the album artwork for that song. Even more so, sometimes you also had animated music videos. And this is why I say, like, back then, and again, I'm not 100% sure what it's like now. I'm sure it has not changed a whole lot. Maybe some things have shifted. But back then, it was a really, like, getting into Vocaloids was a stepping into a multi-discipline media art space for fandom. And it was really exciting. I remember when I was little, I had aspirations to get into the illustration or animation industries. And so that watching those videos actually fueled a lot of my inspirations for drawing whenever I did. Because it was really cool to see people not only platforming talented illustrators, but also exciting to see talented illustrators getting their work out there. As well, the other thing that I wanted to add about the space during then, I guess, was like it felt very... How do I want to say this? Like, there was a culture, I guess, around liking Vocaloids. It was fandom, right? It was a part of what I think some people have called doujin fandom or doujin culture. Doujin being kind of, it's a little bit complicated to explain, but doujin culture, D-O-U-J-I-N, can be derivative of other work and can be original work. Really, what fuels what makes doujin culture is that there's what makes doujin is that there's an established culture around it, wherein which a lot of it is all just DIY. And so, if you got into Vocaloids and stuff like that, it felt kind of like a tight. Not really like a tight-knit community, but it felt like something that, like, it felt very much like if you knew somebody was into the Popi 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 Po Miku Hatsune song, you knew kind of like what else they were interested in because you were kind of interested in the same thing. It reminds me of how during the earlier years of YouTube, people were posting videos, people who posted videos regularly, people who were video blogging, were doing these things called memes, essentially. They would respond to each other, they through videos, they would comment on each other's videos, collaborate, and things like that. And it was, it had its own nicheness. These days, that kind of like intertextual creation of videos over like a shared, for example, topic or video format or video genre, I guess, or type of storytelling feels more like it's for content and it's for trendiness. But back then, it was not so. It was just a bunch of weirdos going online and really just blogging. And that kind of... I think that that sort of DIY culture in which you're interacting with other people's creations but in sort of a more communicative or maybe even dialectic way, was really prevalent in the Vocaloid fandom spaces. I will give you a few examples. So, of course, we've established that Miku Hatsune and the Vocaloids are synthesized vocal samples. And Miku Hatsune is voiced by, I believe, a voice actor named Saki Fujita. There would be people who, obviously, they would upload their music video or animated music video, and it would get views on Nico Nico Douga or YouTube. Then, actual singers, people who maybe were aspiring musicians, or they were teenagers who had access to a nice microphone or something, they would record their own vocals for that song. And you had a number of those. You still have this, you still see quite a bit of this, I think. I think when I was doing a little bit of snooping around in the Vocaloid spaces of the today, I saw some of those. Back then, it was really, really exciting to see. And especially because there were different Vocaloids who had different registers.